That thing isn't going to go screech, is it? Sounds like it's right there. It's got a big echo in it. There we go. Sounded better. All right. Let's pray. Lord, we just praise you and worship you. And we just ask you to be with us, Lord, today as we look into your word. I pray we will see who you are. Lord, I pray that we will see what you say about us. Lord, I pray that you just have your way in our lives. We just praise you. Thank you for all that you do, Lord. Just be with us now, in Jesus' name, amen. So my son called up this morning. It's my son and his wife over here sitting by Teresa. And they called up this morning and decided to come over. So that was pretty nice. I'm glad to have them and glad to just be able to see them for a while. It's good. And I want to thank you guys for praying for me. That thing, where's Tristan? That thing still almost sounds like it's ready to go screech. I hate that. Anyway, I want to thank you guys for all praying for us. And just to let you know how that's going, just done two treatments so far of radiation. It's going good. It's pretty easy, other than this mask they put on me to hold your head still, and it's hooked down to this table, and it's kind of creepy. Well, not creepy, but I'm kind of a little bit, what's the right word? Claustrophobic. And when you don't have any control, I don't like that. Anyway, but it's going good. The treatments, you're in there like 10 minutes and machines are running and stuff. I just shut my eyes and I say, Lord, help me to relax and not freak out in this thing. So it's been going good. So we'll kind of see how my voice and gets and stuff. This will probably be the only time I think that Robert has me scheduled for this month. And so it's just great to be back with you guys again and have a little time to speak with you. And I want to ask you, how did you guys feel about yourself when you were, I don't know, grade school, high school age? I didn't feel very good about myself. I didn't like myself. I was like, had bright red hair, got teased a lot, didn't like bright hair, red hair, you're not like everybody else, you know. And I was pretty shy. I was like, I didn't really like myself probably till after I accepted Christ, which was like 30. But I think a lot of people are like that. Think back to what you thought about yourself. And the Bible's got a lot to say about that, really. We're going to kind of look at some of that today. And so we're going to go to Psalms 139, verse 14 mostly. And so that if you start out Psalms 139, it talks about the Lord. It says, Lord, you have searched me and you know me. So it talks a little bit about knowing, about the Lord knowing this person. And then you go down about verse 7, and the person's saying, the psalmist is saying, where can I go from your spirit? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, verse 9. If I settle on the far sides of the sea, you know, he's there. He's always there. And anyway, it goes on kind of with those themes. And it gets to verse 13, and it talks about how we were created. And I think back and I'm like, well, in the reality of it is, I wish I'd accepted Christ when I was really young. instead of waiting till I was 30. I think it might help me. I mean, I didn't think people liked me, you know? And I was like, I thought girls didn't like me when it come kind of dating. But you know, you got to ask them if you want them to go out with you. I didn't ask them, you know? And I just didn't like myself very well. And I think that really, really inhibits us or takes away from what God can do in our lives, because after I accepted the Lord, I was still pretty shy and everything. But I started finding out, as the Lord started to use me in different ways, that I can do all things in Jesus Christ, and that He will give me the power and the strength to do it. Because I'll tell you what, there ain't no way you'd have got me up here when I was 30 and just accepted Christ. One time I went, Teresa and I went to the coast and see my parents, and came back home, and they had this newspaper from Chihuahua, and reading it, it used to have a little spot in there where they had Summit Valley News in there. And I read in there, and it said that I had been picked to be deacon of the church. And I'm like, what is this? So I called up the pastor. I'm like, what's the deal? Nobody told me about this, you know. And I'm like, I can't do this. On top of that, not so sure the way they did it was biblical anyway, because I was a brand new Christian. When I moved here, it was like 2 months after I accepted the Lord. And I'm like, I'm young. I need to grow, you know. And they're like, it'll be all right. It'll be all right. And it was all right. But they also had the pastor, and they had some older folks. Like in this church, it was pretty much all older people. And some real mature Christians that helped me and watched over me and all of that, helped me to grow. But it's like, I didn't think I could do stuff like that, you know. And then later he called us into ministry. And what I want you to see today, if you don't get anything else out of this, I want you to see that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. God is so good. He didn't make you by accident. He created you and loves you and cares for you. So I want to read from 13 on there a ways. And it says, For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in your mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Isn't that something? Now, I didn't know some of this stuff, but recently, going to all these doctor's appointments and just over the last couple years or 3 years or whatever, having this cancer and going to all these doctors, and I've seen a lot of charts and stuff of people's throats. Like a while back, they ran a thing down through your nose and down your throat, and comes up on the screen, and you can see all this stuff. And I'm like, we can talk. And I'm like, strung my trachea, and it's got some little things like this, little cord things in there. And I'm like, that's your voice box. And I'm like, how can that make us talk, you know, and be understandable and kind of weird? But I think of that, and I look at all the ways that God made us, you know, just the little things. Quite a few years ago, Teresa had to have a I don't know what that was, ultrasound or something. We went into the doctor. I got to go in with her. And they hooked her up to this machine. So up on the monitor is her heart. And you see her heart pumping, you know, and stuff, and doing all this stuff. Well, then pretty soon they push some buttons and it turns the heart around on the screen and they can see the backside of it. Don't ask me how they do that, but it's amazing. And all the blood vessels, all the intricacy, you might say, of our bodies, it's amazing. So I'm going to read you some facts here in a minute, but it's just amazing. If something don't work just right, it affects other things. If you don't have the right, I don't even know how to describe it, but if something in your body don't work, it affects some other parts. You know, we make, nowadays they make, what do you call it, robots. They're not alive, you know. They're all these mechanical parts and stuff. But look how God made us. It's amazing to me how he made us. So in those verses, it uses the word fear. So verse 14, I will praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I guess this just came to me, but we should praise him just for the way we were made. You are special. You are different. And God loves and cares for us so much. In that verse, fearfully, one of the meanings of fearfully, I looked it up in the Strong's, and it's to fear. But another part of that is, it says, to revere. It can also mean cause to fright, but it also can mean reverence. I'm like, how does that apply? But when you give reverence to something, it's like you're honoring it. And I'm like, we're an honor to God. Do we ever stop to think about he reverences us, not in the sense of worshiping us, but he reverences us in the sense that we're different. We're different than the animals. We're different than the other creations. And so we mean something to God. And he cares about us so deeply. Not so sure that we understand that very well. Wonderfully, in that same verse, to make wonderful, marvelous, set apart, distinguish. Well, what's the word distinguish mean? What makes us different? We're distinguished from the animals. We're distinguished from the other creation that he made. Because he made everything, the world and everything in it. But he made us different. So I want to read you some kind of facts. Well, this isn't about our body yet, but the word man, which in some of the scriptures we use today is the word man. The word man is found 2,615 times in scripture. That's a lot. 28 Hebrew and Greek words are translated man, meaning Adam, male, husband, mortal, mighty man, a human being. So God created man. Their physical body was formed, but their life was created by God. Breathed breath, the breath of life in them. Talks about it in Genesis 1, 24 through 28, which we'll go to. But God created man, it talks about in his own image. Man was a work of God, not molecules and monkeys. Okay, we're not the same as monkeys. We're not the same. He didn't create us that way. Let's look at first chapter of Genesis there. Genesis 1:24. Goes like this. Get back here to 24. Here we go. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, the wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. Did you ever notice that cows don't make zebras? They don't make giraffes. Nothing changes out of its kind, okay? It's never happened. Won't ever happen. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that moved along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. So he did that. That's amazing, you know. You should like yourself. You're made in the image of God. You're made like him. Now, I don't know if he looks just like us. If you were to look at him or not, I don't know what that would be like. But it's true that we're made in his image. We shouldn't dislike ourselves like I did for so many years, because we are created by him. And he cares so much for us. Where did I leave off here now? Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God. He created him male and female. He created them male and female. He didn't say, I made male, female, and something else. He said he made male and female. So don't fall into the trap that we get fed nowadays about they're a girl or they're whatever, you know, and they're something else. They're a guy. Don't fall in that. He said, made them male and female. There isn't three or four other things. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. And then it goes on and talks about the other stuff there. The other place I'd like just to read is, well, let's wait a little bit for that. I want to give you those kind of some of those statistics. The body is wonderfully made. Psalms 139:14. It consists of various chemicals: iron, sugar, salt, carbon, iodine, phosphorus, lime, calcium, and others. About 98 cents worth, it says in this commentary. Nowadays it's probably $5.28 or something, but we're made up of all these chemicals. Talks about if we're made from the dust of the earth, you know. And okay, so we'll go on with this stuff before we get into that. The body has the body has 263 bones, 600 muscles, 970 miles of blood vessels. I guess that's one or two, isn't it? Can you imagine that? 970 miles. 400 cups, not a cup that's full of water, but 400 cups on the tongue for taste. 20,000 hairs in the ears to turn into all sound. 40 pounds of jaw pressure. 10 million nerves and branches. 3,500 sweat tubes in each square inch of skin, or 40 miles long, it says. 20 million mouths that suck food as it goes through the intestines. 600 million air cells to the lungs that inhale 2,400 gallons of air daily. And a telephone system that relates to the brain instantly any known sound, taste, sight, touch, or smell. The heart beats 4,200 times an hour and pumps 12 tons of blood daily. Man has emotions, passions, desires, appetites, and all feelings. When you think of that, that's unreal. You know, we make a robot, but it don't have all that stuff. You know, you can go over and unplug the thing or take the battery out of it or however it's made. We're not made that way. So going back to the scriptures, God made us from the dust of the ground. So I got a cousin that makes these big statues. He was a dentist up in Colville till he retired, and he started doing art stuff. Makes these great big statues. He's got one in his yard I'd love to have. It's a horse, and it's probably 6 feet, 8 feet high, somewhere in there. Wonderful looking. And he made different ones, a lot of Native American kind of stuff. And one of them was out there by Fogel's. If you ever went to there, there was one for a while out by the road. And it was, I can't remember what it was. Most of his stuff was like Western stuff. Real intricate. When he started out, he used to make little waxed things, and he'd take a little needle thing and just kind of scratch it, you know, and he'd take this chunk of stuff and just start scratching it away, and pretty soon it's this beautiful thing. Well, I don't know how God did this. We read about in the scripture about the potter's wheel and the clay, and I don't know that he did that. Or maybe he just spoke it into existence. Maybe he just said, let man come forth or something. I don't know. Or maybe he took this dust and made a thing like my cousin did. And then maybe he breathed in their nostrils the breath of life. And you became of this whatever statue looking thing, or this clay thing, this dust, came alive. The breath of life started to breathe and became alive. It says in Genesis 2:7, God formed the man of the dust of the ground. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and then man became a living being. You came alive. That's our God. It's a God we worship. And we should praise him and worship him because we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And he's got a plan for your life. I'm not like you, and you're not like me. We're all different individuals. It's amazing. And it goes on in Genesis 2:20. Through 23, talks about God made the woman. Well, he didn't go, I don't know why. He could have done the dust of the ground thing again and made woman. But he put man to sleep. And he took his rib and made Adam. I mean, made Eve, you know, out of that. I don't know why. That's how he did it. Said in, yeah. Then if we go to chapter 5 of Genesis, verse 1 and 2. Says, this is the written account of Adam's line. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them. And when they were created, he called them man. Mankind, okay? It's still one male, one female. Or male and female, I should say. It's not male and female and something else. But when he uses the word mankind, it was like I talked about a little while ago. You know, so he's talking about mankind here when he uses man there. When Adam had lived 130 years, he had a son in his own likeness, in his own image, and he named him Seth, and it goes on there. But Job 33:4 says, the Spirit of God has made me. The breath of God Almighty gave me life. Psalms 8:4-7. I wanted to read that. Get over to that. Psalms 8. 4-7 goes like this. For you have upheld my right hand in my cause. You have sat on your throne judging righteously. You have rebuked the nations and destroyed the wicked. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. What did I do? Write down one of the something wrong here. I'm sorry.
Did you say Psalm 8?
Yeah, is that what I'm reading? Oh, no wonder. I'm in 9, not 8. I think. I was going to say that did not sound right. 8:4. Oh, here we go. This sounds a little better. What is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? Man, do we understand? Do we even have an inkling of what God's love is like and how he cares for us? I mean, we can become attached to a pet, you know, a dog or a horse or whatever. But God created this being, and he cares for us and loves us so much. And he says, what is man that we're this little speck in the whole universe? You know, we fly rockets and go the moon and everywhere else. We're this little speck, and yet God loves us and cares for us. He's mindful of us, the son of man that you care for him. You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings, crowned him with glory and honor. Actually, I was going to read this one out of, I'm going to go to that. I was going to read this one out of what it says in this Amplified Bible. 8:4. What is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of earthborn man that you care for him. Yet you have made him but little lower than God or heavenly beings, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. And it goes on and talks about some of the animals there. He's given us, he loved us so much, he's put us in dominion over all these animals and all the earth. And all this, it's just amazing to me. Maybe it hit me more than it hits some of you, but anyway, it asks two questions in there, in that psalm. What is man that you are mindful of him? It shows God cares. The son of man that you care for him anyway. I guess that's all we need to do on that. Verse 5, we were made a little lower than the heavenly beings. And he crowned us with glory and honor, made us to have dominion over the earth. Man, it don't say that in that scripture, but man also has intellect, a will, and a conscience. Man was made a threefold being with body, soul, and spirit. Our inner man is eternal. Man was made a little lower than angels. We talked about that. Man was created sinless, but capable of sin. Genesis 2:17. Man's flesh is different from all other creatures. First Corinthians 15:39. Both male and female are represented in the word man, where it talks about it in Genesis. We talked about that. It's man and woman. It's mankind was what it used that in Genesis there. Psalms 100 is a psalm of thanksgiving. Let's read that one. Psalm of thanksgiving. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful song. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. So he made us, and we belong to him. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, giving thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. So when we come together like this, I love enthusiastic worship. I don't care whether it's hymns, I don't care whether it's choruses, I don't care whether it's contemporary songs, old songs. I think we ought to have a mix of everything, you know. That way we can please everybody too, because we all have our preferences. But I think when we get together and worship, it should come out of us, and it should be exuberant. We should blow the roof right off the place, you might say, because of what God's done for us and how he's created us. We should be that thankful, and we need, at least I need, to learn to worship in a deeper way than I do. He goes on here. Did I read that whole thing? Yeah, I guess I did. Verse 1 says, shout for joy to the Lord. Verse 2, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him in joyful song. Know that the Lord is good, verse 3. He made us and we are his people. Verse 4 is a big reason why we should worship him. It says, because his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues forever. He loves us and he cares for us. And it lasts forever. We're wonderfully made. He wants a relationship with you. I want you to read you something that I happened to run across. It goes like this. Jesus wants you with him in heaven. Not just someday, far off in the distance, but starting now. He wants your heart, your trust, your yes. You're not an accident. We're not, it wasn't some slime ball that turned into a human being. It wasn't something in a swamp that crawled out on the land and became a human being. You're not an accident. You're not a burden to him. He knows your story, your sins, your scars, and still he looks at you with love and says, come. Heaven isn't just a place. It's life forever in the presence of the one who made you and died for you. The cross wasn't a vague gesture. He had you in mind. He created us, in other words, and he still has us on his mind. He was willing to go to the cross. The question is simple, but it's the most important one you'll ever answer. Do you want to go? Do you want to belong to him, to be forgiven, to walk with him today and be with him forever? You don't have to have everything figured out. You don't have to fix yourself first. You just have to respond. Open your heart, even if it's trembling, and say, Lord, I want you. Take my life. And if that's your desire, even if your faith feels small, then let your answer be amen. Dear Jesus, I believe that you love me and that you want me with you forever. Thank you for dying for my sins and rising again to give me new life. In other words, this is a prayer here at the end. Today I say yes to you. I ask you to forgive me. Cleanse me and make my heart new. I give you my past, my present, and my future. Lead me, change me, and stay with me always. And at the bottom it says, I guess this is still part of it. Write my name in heaven and teach me to walk with you each day. I choose you. Amen. You were wonderfully made. He wants a relationship with you. Most of us here probably already do have a relationship with Jesus. He wants us to walk it out. He wants us to share it. He wants us to remember what he's done. Someone here might not know. Maybe somebody hasn't made that commitment to you. I'd encourage you today, because we're going to have communion in a minute. So I just want to encourage you, if you don't know the Lord, if you haven't accepted him as your Savior, that might be a good time to just pray. Pray a prayer like we just read. Ask him to forgive you your sin and come into your heart and life. Start walking with him. But he wants us to remember what he's done. He created us. He loved us. He died on the cross for our sins. He rose again. He provided salvation for us by shedding his blood for us. We need to remember that today. And I've put some of you on the spot once in a while, about sharing when you maybe did that. And there have been some ladies and stuff stand up and share. But you know what? I don't remember any guys doing that. Is there anybody today, a guy, preferably, this morning, that would stand up, tell about their, not a long thing, just what happened when you accepted Christ? How did that happen, or where was it, or whatever? And Mike, I guess, were you going to pass these out, the elements? Maybe while somebody was doing that, you and somebody else could come and pass out the elements. So is there anybody willing to do that, stand up and share and give their, just a short thing, it don't have to be long. Any guys willing to do that? I thought Tristan was going to come and do that. The only way to break the wall down that keeps us from sharing is by getting up and doing it. And you'll be blessed by it, and it'll be easier next time. Anybody? No? Any women? Any children? Not many children here today. Should I tell you mine? Time is it? Okay. I'll just tell you mine really short. I was kind of wondering when I was 30 what life was all about. Been going to this Bible study for about a year. One night I went to the Bible study and they were going through this study. I don't even remember where it was now exactly, but in the Bible. But I just, it's just like the Holy Spirit was speaking to my life that I needed that. The guy, he always shared about salvation and God's love for us and stuff. But I didn't respond. The Bible study got over. He said, man, I really thought something was supposed to happen tonight. And I'm sitting there practically squirming in my chair because I'm like really being convicted, you know. And it's like the Lord was saying to me, it's now or never, you know. So they close the Bible study, it gets over, we start visiting, and anyway, my wife's saying, well, we should probably go home, and I'm like, oh, not yet, because I wanted to say something, but I didn't want to say something, you know, and finally I just blurted out, I need to accept Christ, and I need to do it now, and I prayed and asked the Lord into my life and into my heart. And one of the things I prayed during that prayer, or after that prayer, was that God would show me how real He was. And things started to happen that I could not believe. And within 2 months, we're living over here on the farm, something I wanted to do all my life but never could make happen. God's amazing. He loves each and every one of us so much. Anyway, that's my testimony. I'd make it longer, but it's already too long. So let's, when they get done there, we'll pray and we'll take communion together here.